today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Joe Willie on responding to Islamic extremists using social media to recruit young adults.
Sat7 does care because we know that those young people can be and will be changed by the gospel, changed by the Christian faith, not because it's from the West, it's because it's the truth of God's word, and they will be transforming. They'll be leaders. And those leaders can say, there's a different way. There is something else. We can trust God. We can lead society into something that is beautiful, that is blessed, and we do not have to continue down what I think we, from an American perspective, certainly will have is just a road that is one of destruction.
Joe Willie, next. Today, Spencer Dahlke speaks with Joe Willie, a vice president with Sat7, which broadcasts the gospel into the Middle East and Africa. As you'll hear, the ministry operates on multiple platforms.
Would you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Well, certainly. Well, Sat7 is a ministry that is a broadcast ministry, not only digital as people would think, but also satellite. And we are a Christian broadcaster that creates content. Predominantly, the content is created in the Middle East and North Africa for the Middle East and North Africa. This is really a bit of a rarity in the region that we have a Christian broadcaster with native speakers, with people that were born and raised in the Middle East and North Africa and understand the cultural context and understand how to speak about Jesus Christ as the Son of God in the context. That is very exciting, and so I'm privileged to be a part of it.
What countries do you guys broadcast in?
Well, there are 25 countries in the Middle East and North Africa. So, in fact, often people do not consider how large the footprint is. We can certainly say, okay, Egypt. People understand Egypt, Lebanon, but we speak about Iran, Tajikistan. There is Kuwait, Mauritania. Many people don't think about a nation like that. Saudi Arabia, Morocco. There are 25 countries that the satellite footprint will project into. And then, of course, other countries worldwide that someone could watch content, Christian content in their language on Sat7 Plus, which is a video on demand digital platform that we use and we have created for reaching beyond the region in other parts of the world.
Well, I noticed that you've had your eye on social media use in the Middle East, and that TikTok and Facebook and Instagram has been used by extremist groups to reach young people. Would you care to tell us a little bit about that and how that got started?
Yeah, I think sometimes that we in the West, especially in America, have a preconceived idea of what someone living in the Middle East or North Africa is like. And perhaps because of movies, we see a lot of sand, deserts. Of course, in the region, there is that. But also, smartphone ownership in the Middle East is roughly 80 to 90% of youth. They have a smartphone and internet access, which is very much like the smartphone usage and ownership in the United States. But just as there are young people, and I know there may be parents listening that have concern because of someone wanting a TikTok account, Facebook, WhatsApp, YouTube, Instagram, and the content that is available, it's the same in the Middle East and North Africa. So there are those who have used these platforms to not say, I want to tell you about a good thing, but I actually want to create content that will entice you to do things that are morally wrong, entice you to do things and hate people who are not like you. And so Sat7 years ago really did consider how can the gospel, how can Christianity be presented and promoted on social media as really not even a counterbalance to hate, but actually the truth of God's word. And so Sat7 has a really robust social media presence in the Middle East and North Africa.
Maybe social media is the new medium for consuming content?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, you know, some stats, we had 800 million views on our social media news feeds last year. We had almost 1 million downloads of Sat 7 Plus, and then people accessing content on Sat 7 Plus. There were 230 million views of videos. And so this is not just a fledgling operation that is saying, oh, wouldn't it be great if we had 100 followers? This is a vital part of Sat7's ministry. And again, there is this connection that I see, and I have had to be educated regarding the Middle East and North Africa myself. And what I find is there are so many similarities, right? Human being to human being, made in the image of God, no matter where you live. And Sat7 understands it too. I think an interesting story, a few years ago, there were protests, and maybe you or listeners have heard of Mahsa Amini, who was a young woman who was arrested for not wearing a head covering properly. She was taken into custody, and by all reports, she was beaten and she died. There were protests in Iran, especially the epicenter would be Tehran, the capital, and government internet was throttled. The Sat7 programs, because we have created programs specifically for internet usage, so there are programs that air on Facebook, but because that was throttled, no one was on Facebook. But because Sat7 also has satellite, Sat7 just took those programs that were created in the Persian language and Farsi and aired them on satellite, which is virtually uncensorable. So one of the things I get excited about with Sat7 is not only the use of technology, but also how it can use technology that some people say, why do you still do that? Well, satellite is ubiquitous in the Middle East and North Africa. And so we can use either or both simultaneously to, again, tell people this is Christianity. This is the gospel. You have heard of Jesus as a prophet. He says he's the Son of God. And that is quite a different thing. So yes, the technology is useful. The technology is important. And it is used by millions in the Middle East and North Africa.
Do you know how many extremist groups there are? It seems like there are very many Islamic militant groups.
I think what happens, as you can imagine, probably in the U.S. too, is that there are those who are larger that people may hear of. You may hear of Hamas, Al-Qaeda. But the interesting thing about hatred is that it splinters and creates other groups with the goal of hatred. Now, what's interesting is the antithesis of that is the church, capital C, that instead of splintering, it draws people together as the body of Christ. So yeah, it is very difficult to know or understand or really count how many groups there are because it could change almost daily.
What sort of content do they produce?
Well, I think it's interesting because that kind of content, the kind of content that would be interesting, would promote the fears that people have in a region that has much higher illiteracy and where young people are not in school or maybe end school faster. There is the looming threat of poverty. So when you have people who have no hope, even a hope that we may say, my goodness, how could you even think that? There is at least a group. There is at least hope to say, I'm part of something. And so look what's happening with artificial intelligence, right? AI, the AI videos, deepfake videos, which are even another level where you do see people saying things that they never saw, doing things they never did. These kind of tools can be used to promote things that are not true, people that never said this, things about Christianity that are untrue, and they can seem incredibly lifelike and true, although it is not. What I think the American audience needs to understand is really when we consider and think about the internet as the World Wide Web, it truly is. And the tactics that people will use in the United States can be used elsewhere in the world for things that do not sell products, but actually encourage people to join a group that is bent on a destruction of another group.
You mentioned the American audience. Just looking at them for a little bit, it seems like our culture, like on the whole, considers Muslims to be mostly a peaceful religion, which of course, you know, it'd be simplistic to say that they're entirely peaceful or they're entirely extremists. But what are we not understanding? What do we need to know about, like, I guess, how Muslims operate and recruit?
Yes, and you are right that to it can be dangerous and unwise to paint with a broad brush, but there are groups. I once asked our CEO, Rita L. Mounier, do you have a percentage of people that want to be in conflict and others who don't? And she had just said once, and this was just a conversation, that most people, say 80%, want peace. But it's the smaller group that says, no, we want to foment destruction. But, you know, I don't think this is necessarily totally an issue of religion. What this becomes is an issue of sin. That's not just someone on one side of a religious aisle. There is sin. And this is the interesting thing, because there is no hope outside of the gospel of Christ. And that's what's interesting with this, is because there can be content. You can say, my goodness, from the Western perspective, why is the Middle East in such turmoil? You have a lot of people, you have countries that are the sizes of states in the United States. So there isn't necessarily, although people could say the Middle East, there are unique and distinct cultures, distinct groups of people who really don't want to be lumped in all as one. And so there can be conflict there. But in general, we all have the sin issue. It just is a different cultural context in the Middle East than the United States. But believe me, we all are fallen.
Why do these groups market to teens?
Young and impressionable. I'm reading a book about World War I, and this is a Western conflict. And you have young people who are seeking glory, status, thinking this won't be so bad. And it becomes a whirlpool that drags them down and changes their lives forever. Often older people understand that what may be promised is not necessarily what is going to be fulfilled. Young people do, with hope and vigor, and say, I certainly want to make a change. I want to change things. So that is fertile ground for ideas. And if no one is guiding, except the person who is creating the messaging, then it can be a recipe for disaster. We see it here. It's because of my role in marketing and communications. I see things and I say, well, wait a minute, the products that are being sold to young people, what if the product is different? When I think of it that way, and I think in an American mindset who are marketed to day and night, if we just consider that and think, who are the ones who have the least experience of living and are sort of, in a sense, the largest sponges? It is young people. And that's why it's so important for groups that are bent on destruction to reach young people and to say, be part of us, because there is, in general, a naivete with youth. And there can be more energy spent and less cynicism, perhaps. And so I think that's why it's important. Again, it's the tools. That's why it's TikTok. That's why it's Instagram. It just sounds so strange, doesn't it, to say that a group that wants to radicalize someone would be on social media. You think that they're lurking in corners, but it's out, it's blatant. And that's, again, why Sat7 is involved in media, to counter, to say, wait, there is a different way. There's something different, there's something better, and there's something eternal. But young people need to have hope as well. So the gospel is not just for older people who want comfort. The gospel is for younger people who want hope and to say, my life matters.
My guest today is Joe Willey. He's the Vice President of Marketing and Communications at Sat7. We're discussing social media and its use among extremist groups in the Middle East to radicalize the youth. Something you mentioned in your last answer is, when the only guidance that kids are getting is from social media and like these like extremist groups that are like, you know, appealing to them, this sort of thing, it seems to suggest to me, and maybe this is just not a charitable take, but is the marketing effective, and can parents and maybe the church take some responsibility for its effectiveness if we're not like guiding them and giving them identity?
I think it's funny because, and again, remembering that, you know, I'm a VP of marketing communication, so I do have some expertise in this. And it really, I could argue that marketing is an incredibly effective tool for anything you want to market. I'd encourage you as you go throughout the day to consider how many times you look at your phone, how many ads are served, what's in your newsfeed if you're on social media. What do you think you need, not because you need it, but because you have gotten an ad or someone else has it? That's a really important part. So in a region where there is little and you're looking for connection, or at least in pockets that have very little and there's poverty, marketing may be the carrot that's dangled in front of you. Do this, do that. The second part of your question, is there a responsibility that can be laid at the feet of people in the church or parents? It can be hard to know specifically, but I do think that in the church, as well as in the home, God is calling us as adults, as parents, and as a church to shepherd people, to teach. And I know in my life, teaching scripture is really the answer. Any question I have, it's in scripture. It's the same. Now, it may not be a specific, but it's a principle. And so, yes, we do have responsibility, but it's a God-given responsibility. I'm a father of four sons. God does not say, you are responsible for your family, except when it comes to social media. I answer to God. The church answers to God. Families answer to God. Is there responsibility? There's ultimately responsibility because of what He has called us to do. That's not blaming anyone. That is also acknowledging the difficulty of trying to encourage and raise young people in the respect of God in a world that inundates people with everything but. So it's difficult, but it's not really what I think. It's what does God say? You know, that really is the answer. And He makes it very clear. It may be us against the world. And you have to say, God says this. The world's saying this. The ads, the social media are saying this. I have a choice to make. That's why Sat7 wants to make the gospel available and God's love visible, is because if you do not know, then you're going to struggle with the clarity of what God calls you to do, particularly as a Christian. And many in the Middle East and North Africa, it's a region that 4% are Christians. Of 600 to 700 million, I believe is the last stat, 600 to 700 million people, and 4% are Christians. There are many who will never see a Christian. They will not meet a Christian. Perhaps if they do, it will be someone who is not vocal about their faith because they're fearful. But Sat7 gets to present Christianity from Scripture. Presenters that are from the countries where they're being broadcast to say, wait, someone just like me is saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. This is not a Western religion. This is a religion of the faithful who follow God.
I was just talking with the Tide Ministry not too long ago on the same thing. I guess like a lot of people in the Middle East are very cultural. So I guess being able to present the gospel to them in a way that's like, oh, it's not just a Western thing like you were saying, is very impactful.
It's interesting because I tell people in my time, and I've been with Sat7 over 5 years, that I knew I was an American before I was involved with Sat7, but I'm really an American. And by that, I mean my culture and the culture of America and what the culture I was raised in, the Constitution of the United States. It's a far different culture than those cultures in the Middle East. It's not monolithic. It's not one culture. There are multiple. But we know Americans are, it's the American ethic, it's the cowboy going across the plains, this kind of idea. We are independent people. But family and society are much more important, you could argue, in the Middle East and North Africa. And so that's why you may have people that say, I heard the gospel and I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, but no one in my family does. It's incredibly difficult. It is a different world. It's a different culture. And different cultures. And that's why I think it's very important for Sat7 to be in the Middle East and North Africa to understand. And there are things that I will see, and I don't speak Arabic, but there are certain things I may see or see in the translation. And I think, what's the big deal with that? Why would that be important? But that's my American perspective.
You mentioned a lot, like you're preaching the gospel and this sort of thing, trying to make that known. But how does Sat7 respond to the extremist media? Do you guys try to reach the youth in particular ways?
Oh, absolutely. We have programming that is for young people. In fact, we have a channel. Now, this is an Arabic-speaking channel, but it's Sat7 Kids. So this is a channel that is specifically for children in the Sat7 footprint, satellite footprint, and digital programming that you'd see it and you'd say, well, this is young person's programming in the United States, too. You see these little kids. They're incredible. They're beautiful. They smile. They may play games. There may be different things that they're doing. It's sobering to see these wonderful little children and to think that there are people that could post content to actually turn them to say, you're supposed to hate this person or this group. It's interesting, and it doesn't necessarily resonate, perhaps, with the United States audience, but sometimes things happen in the Middle East and North Africa on programming, and it's a really big deal. Something may happen. Maybe there is an earthquake, maybe there's a tragedy, and you will have young people from countries that are not supposed to get along. And these young people are praying for others, 8 years old, 7 years old, and they're saying, will you please protect these young people, these countries? It shows that to reach young people with the gospel, and as God will change their hearts, it will change society. It will change everything. It will not make it the West. But what we're talking about is how is Christianity practiced in that culture, remembering that the incarnate Christ came to that region. And there are things in Scripture that, you know, you see and you go, well, I don't get it. And they're huge, really important things because there is a cultural context. Sat7 understands that. You know, something really interesting, too, is adults will watch Sat7 Kids. They will watch Sat7 educational program. There's a program in my school that teaches reading, writing, arithmetic. Adults who are stuck in illiteracy will watch children's programs to learn how to read, to write, because they can now increase their income, they can increase their opportunities. I would encourage everyone to go to Sat7 Plus, look for Sat7 Kids program, and you will see children like you see in the United States. It's really beautiful, but Sat7 does care because we know that those young people can be and will be changed by the gospel, changed by the Christian faith, not because it's from the West, it's because it's the truth of God's word, and they will be transforming. They'll be leaders. And those leaders could say, there's a different way. There is something else. We can trust God. We can lead society into something that is beautiful, that is blessed, and we do not have to continue down what I think we, from an American perspective, certainly will have is just a road that is one of destruction.
Given our discussion about extremism on social media, it just kind of reminds me, like, the young adults, like you mentioned, are impressionable. How can the church respond to bring the gospel to the young adults that brings them a real and living understanding of Jesus and his work for us on the cross?
Perhaps you know the story. I think it's actually how training progresses. If you are trained to know what a counterfeit dollar, a counterfeit currency looks like, you're not trained on the counterfeit. You are trained by handling the real thing. God's word is the real thing. The counterbalance to what social media may say, or those on social media may say, is learning God's word, studying God's word. Then you will be able to discern a lie from the truth. Then you will be able to discern, is this person saying something that is counter to the ultimate truth of God's word? Yes, it's a complex world, but I think that is a pretty foundational principle that is really needed. I need it. I have to constantly be in God's word or I will fall for things. Things sound good. Well, how much more a young person, 10 years old, will hear something and think, yeah, I'd like that. Me as an adult may say, well, not so fast. But it is, again, studying God's word. And that's why I believe Sat7 is so important in the region to go, wait, there is the Bible. And this is the truth of the Bible. And this is what Christians believe. Christians forgive. That's a pretty radical concept in many places. So really, I do think it begins with having the truth to weigh and to measure everything against. We can't just guess. God's word doesn't leave us empty-handed. It tells us what is real, what is not real.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Joe Willey, a vice president with SAT7. Go to sat7usa.org. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join us again on Monday at the same time for another edition of His People.